Thank you, Peter. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with volume 29, 10-4-1931. My daughter, our divine being is great. So here, now Jesus is telling us about himself, about the triune God. Our divine being is great, immense, powerful, etc. This does not cause much marvel, because all of these divine qualities of God's are God's by nature, and form the whole entirety of our supreme being. So by nature, we are immense in the power, immense in the divine love, and immense of the beauty, and immense of wisdom, and the immense of mercy, and so forth. And since we are immense in all things, everything that comes out of us, triune God, remains in the nets of our immense divine qualities. So here, it gives you a glimpse of how magnificent our God is. Now, he says, what causes the greatest of marvels is to see Louisa, the soul who lives in our divine will, who encloses in her little acts the powerful and immense act of her creator, of her God, to see as though lined up in the time, in the little acts of the infinite, of the finite being, the divine immense love, the divine immense wisdom, the divine infinite beauty, and the boundless divine mercy, the intermittable sanctity of God who created her. This is the marvel. Image and likeness is now a creature. This is what God did with Adam. And Adam lost it. And for 4,000 years, they prayed for the Messiah. Then the Messiah came to the earth, Jesus and Mary, who are the new Adam and the new Eve. And now 2,000 years later, the saints have desired, learned, prayed, fasted, mortified themselves to enter into this life of Jesus, this life of Mary, as God kept on revealing himself to the mystics, to the saints. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now is the time for the souls to return to what I have originally planned for them. And this is what he says. He says, the greatest marvel is to see the soul who lives in our divine will. That's Louisa, and Jesus is offering this to us. And what happens? The finite, our little acts, our finite being, enters into the immense love, wisdom, beauty. Volume 29, 10, 12, 1931. But do you know where we can find and form this life and this fulfilled act of ours as much as is possible and imaginable for a creature to receive from a creator? In Louisa, the soul who lives in our divine will, greater than a Christmas tree, let me tell you. She lets herself be dominated by this great gift of the divine will. And that's what God is asking of us. He's asking us to read, to study, to put this into practice. Why? So that we can receive what he filled Louisa with. Only in Louisa can we form the divine life and carry out our fulfilled act. Our divine will disposes the creature Louisa to receive all of the divine qualities, all of the divine qualities, and our breath never interrupted as most skillful brush paints with admirable and infinite majesty the most sublime shades and forms the facsimiles of our supreme being. So here Jesus is saying, look at Louisa, look what I've done for her, look what I filled her with. And then he says, I'm offering this to those who are reading, because Jesus says, I am the one that has given you the book of heaven. Doesn't matter what human gave you the book. Jesus knew from the beginning of time who he would give this book to, who would read it, who would put it into practice, 30, 60, or 100-fold. He knows exactly what we're going to do with it. I know a good friend of mine, very loved the divine will, and then he got a job, and he he's focused on his job. It's a good job. And finally, I said, you know, all that God gave you is disappeared. I said, where's your book of heaven? And he goes, I'll get it. So then called him back a few months later. I said, where's your book of heaven? He says, it's on my desk. I said, and it's all it's doing is collecting dust. You know, if you want this, you've got to continue to read, because every time you read, Jesus fills you with more. That's what Louisa studied this. She stayed in bed and studied this, wrote what Jesus told her and studied it. She began to live it. That's why God gave it to her. It's the same thing for us. You know, some people say, well, I know the divine will, and it's nice, it's good, and I'm living in the divine will. Well, do you read every day? Well, I read when I can. Do you read every week? Well, I read when I can. Do you read every month? And what happens is they lose the little that they think they have. And don't lose this. You know, make a commitment to Jesus to read every day. And this is one of the reasons why we become third order Benedictines. You promise Jesus that you'll read at least a half an hour every day. And one of the best ways to do that is with the calendar. You read the calendar every day. Jesus is filling you with divine surprises, divine light. It's just amazing. Volume 30, 12, 6, 1931. My daughter, how many things do these veils of our divine qualities hide? This is very important for today. When Jesus died, the veil in the temple was torn in two. And what happens? The church says the Old Testament ended and the New Testament began. But to no one is it given to tear these veils. Okay, now there's another veil that has to be torn, Jesus says. Except Louisa, to the one who does and lives in our divine will. So what's happened over this past year with no public masses, really no funerals, no baptisms, no confessions, this veil is now being torn again. And what's bound on earth is bound in heaven. And it's my belief that now the book of heaven, Jesus calls it the gospel of the kingdom, is to be proclaimed to all the world. I think that's the veil that's torn. It's a new beginning. This is a new and divine way of holiness. It's begun. Nothing to worry about, nothing to fear, nothing to be anxious about. We are not supposed to go back to the 50s. We continue journey to what Jesus is calling us to. And what he says to us very, very clearly is, she alone is the fortunate creature who sees her God not veiled, but as he is in himself. That's what God is calling us to. As you read this book of heaven, as you read the gospel of the kingdom, and you remember what Jesus said in Matthew 24, until the gospel of the kingdom is proclaimed to all the world, the kingdom really can't be established. Jesus calls the book of heaven the testament of love, the testament of the kingdom, and then he says the gospel of the kingdom. Do you think it was by mistake that he said this? And do you think it's by mistake that he talks about this veil that has to be torn? We are living in this time. Since we've had this book, as Our Lady said to Father Gobi in 1997, it's complete. As John Paul II says, get ready for a new and divine way of holiness. As Our Lady told Bruno in 1947, 40 days after Louisa died, get ready. The time has now come to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the time to enter into the new era. This is, God closes one door and he opens another. And that's what he's doing. This is a glorious time to be alive. Be peaceful, joyful, and happy. Don't worry about anything. And watch as you read, as you study, as you put this book into practice in your own life, watch what God's going to show you. So he says this, you must know, this is a command from Jesus Christ. Our divine will is all eyes over the happy creature who wants to live of divine will. Jesus says he's happy Finally, he's find some souls that want to live the life that Adam lost, to live the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. And as she does her acts, learning how to pray the rounds, it gives her the bath of divine life. This bath refreshes her and makes her feel the divine cooling, since the light, as it forms by its own nature, produces fecundity, sweetness, flavors, colors, and with its veils of light. See, a new veil's coming. So while in appearance it seems only light, it hides so many beautiful riches and innumerable qualities, such that no other element can be said to be similar to it. Even more, it is from this divine light that they implore the fecundity and the good that each element must do in order, in the order in which it was placed by God, going back to live this divine life that God originally planned, which we read earlier about Adam. Line 31:17, 1932. Now, once my divine will has secured his total dominion in the creature, that's what God is waiting for. As we read, as we study, he wants to secure the divine will in us as our total dominion. He wants us to possess it, and he wants it to possess us. It takes on its speaking mode. You must know, again, he says, this is a command, that each of its words, each word that Jesus Christ speaks to you is a new creation, is an abundant life, Jesus says. Whenever it rains, it is unable to remain idle since it possesses the creative virtue. It is unable to speak if it does not create. We enter into this life of God, image and likeness. As it speaks to us, it creates. As it speaks to us, it transmutes us. This is the beauty of this gift. And everything that's around us becomes heaven. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints. When you pray, especially when you learn the command prayer, it's Peter on the water, you know, in the boat. If you're the Messiah in the boat, if you're the Messiah, command me to come to you. Take my prayer and make it your command. Jesus says, come. Peter gets out of the boat and walks on water. Humans do not walk on water. God does. But see, Jesus was showing Peter he has the keys to the kingdom. He gives him a hint of what's coming in the future. And so Jesus teaches Louisa the command prayer. Take my prayer, Jesus, and make it your command. I know it's going to be answered because you, Lord, are going to do it. But what does it create? Listen to this. It creates itself in the creature. It wants to make a display of its divine qualities in the creature, in the soul. And so it does, word by word, as Jesus speaks to you, word by word, almost as it did in the creation of the universe when it spoke not just one word, but as many words for as many different things that wanted to create. So it speaks and it creates light. It speaks and it creates sweetness. It speaks and it creates divine strength. It speaks and it creates in the soul its day of peace. It speaks and it creates its knowledge. This is what Jesus is doing when you read every day. He, the Word of God, speaks these words to you. And this is what's happening. You have light, sweetness, divine strength, a day of peace, knowledge. God is bringing to life in you, excuse me, that which has been really silenced since Adam, when Adam fell. This abundant life that Adam possessed, image and likeness of God, is now being given back to mankind, and to especially and to only those souls that are reading the book of heaven. Because Jesus is doing this. You can read other books, but it's not Jesus speaking to you. Like he says, this is the only book that will transform a soul. So each of its words that Jesus speaks is a bearer of creation and of the good it possesses and reveals. Read, study, put this into practice. What do I do today? Read, study, put this in the right. That's why the calendar is so beautiful. If it's a short passage that you have that day, read it again and again. Jesus will speak to you, and he expands your capacity every time you read. He expands your capacity so that you can understand this language of heaven. Its word makes itself the announcer of the good that God wants to create in the soul. See, he wants to bring us back to where we were before the fall. Volume 31, 724, 1932. You cannot comprehend what our contentment is in seeing the creature endowed with these divine qualities of ours, of which our word, Jesus Christ, speaks this word, he says, is our bearer. He wants us to be recreated as he speaks. I mean, you've always wanted to know what it was like to sit down with Jesus when he was alive on earth. You now can know what it is like. As you read, Jesus is speaking to you. And what is he doing? He's creating in you this abundant life. And he says, he said to Louisa, I can't breathe into you one breath and create you like Adam was created. Adam was infinite dust. I could create in him as much as I want. With you, Louisa, you're already formed. He says, I can't breathe all that I am in you, image and likeness. So he says, I'm going to give to you word by word, puff by puff, breathing into you as you read, as much as you want or as little as you want. So as you read this, as you study this, as you put this into practice, a new beginning happens for you. It's just amazing. He says, and since it is our usual way to direct our word to one soul, our word is yet so fecund, powerful, and full of light as to act like the sun in the sky formed by one of our words, in that one blow of light illuminates everyone and gives the good that the light possesses. So what Jesus spoke to Louisa now is for everyone. As we read this, as we study this, as we put this into practice, everything changes for us. Nothing remains the same. The saints, I love the saints. They're good and holy and saintly. But they did the will of God in a saintly human way through prayer, fasting, penance, mortifications. What Jesus is doing, he says, I'm going to do this. I'm going to breathe in you again this Ruah of God, this breath of God, this abundant life that I want you to possess. And so he's asking us, are you willing to give your fiat? Are you willing to say yes to this? That's all he's asking. Volume 31, 10, 30, 19, 32. My little daughter of my volition, Louisa. The living in my divine will is a continuous call that we, Triune God, make to the creature into our divine qualities. To make to the creature into our divine qualities. So this book of heaven is a continuous call that the Triune God wants to make the creature into our divine qualities. That's transmutation. Our divine being is always operating and our divine attributes are always in motion. But since it is our divine will that wants to form the work and the motion inside our divine being, the one, Louisa, the one who lives in it, then feels that our divine will calls her now into the divine power, into our divine wisdom, now into our divine love, now into our divine mercy, now into our divine justice, divine goodness, divine beauty, in sum, all of our divine attributes with powerful voices that call the creature, Louisa, and now hopefully us, into themselves, into the goodness and the justice and the power and the wisdom of God, that the soul, Louisa, and the soul's linked to Louisa, may be formed and grow according to God's divine qualities. They would feel dishonored. These qualities would feel dishonored if it could be that the one, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa who lives in it, we want to live in it with the same divine will by which they were animated, were not similar to them, nor did they enjoy their prerogatives. that they tolerate littleness, this does not harm them. So we are nothing. We're nothing but a little atom. It doesn't harm the divine qualities because it is known that the infinite can never reach the finite. The finite can never reach the infinite, but rather littleness gives them more honor because all the divine beauty, all the divine goodness, and all they see in it is all God's work, the divine work. For it to be dissimilar to them, this never, never. God doesn't want us dissimilar from him any longer. Here then is the whispering. This is God speaking to us in the book of heaven. The continuous voicing that Louisa, the one who lives in our divine will, hears. We, linked to Louisa, also hear this. We want to hear this very clearly. And this language of heaven. So Jesus says, keep on reading, and I will explain everything to you. These are the continuous calls that our supreme being makes to his beloved creature by means of his divine qualities. Above all, it is because it does not want to be and is unable to be, it cannot be without Louisa, who lives in the divine will, and us who want to live in the divine will. Because our divine will, being one, possesses such virtue of union and of inseparability that everything that freely enters into it loses the separative virtue. We're never separated from God at that point. We are going to walk and talk with God in the cool of the evening like Adam. That's what God has planned. He's given glimpses of this to us. Our highest goodness feels the need of love to keep with itself what belongs to it and forms a particle of its very will. Here is why, then, our divine qualities claim into their motion and works Louisa, and hopefully us linked to Louisa, who is and are animated by the same will to live life, to live divine life together. They would feel a tearing and their will broken had they not had, did not have Louisa and us linked to Louisa with them. Was that a tearing? What the first man made from inside our divine will by withdrawing from it. So here's the first tear, if you want to say, Adam tearing from the will of God. The second tear in the temple, the Old Testament ending, the New Testament beginning. And now this third tearing of sanctification, it's to begin to enter into this abundant life, to understand the gospel of the kingdom. And this tearing was so grave as to turn the whole order of creation upside down for him. And he reached the point of rejecting, this is what Adam did, rejecting his creator with all the current of his divine graces. And therefore, Louisa, and us linked to Louisa, Louisa, the one who lives in the divine will, is the restoration of this tearing. So painful that it costs us so much. And our divine being arms all our divine attributes around, all around Louisa, so that the same shot may not be repeated to us again. As Louisa lives together with us, both she and we may be happy. So Jesus says this to Louisa. If I have given this gift back to Adam, he would lose it again. He says, I give it to you, Louisa, because you can't lose it. How? What's the difference? If Adam lost it, how can't Louisa lose it? Because the new Adam is Jesus. The new Eve is Mary. They can never fail. They gave this life now to Louisa. This is, oh, happy fall of Adam. Because of Adam's fall, now we have a new Adam, Jesus, and a new Eve, Mary. It's a new beginning for all of mankind. Adam, Jesus says, Adam lost this gift. Louisa, you can never lose this gift. Because it's the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. You can never go wrong. You see what Jesus is calling us to? This fire from heaven that's coming. The first purification was the flood. The second purification was the blood of Jesus, washing the world clean. The third purification is the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The fire from heaven is of the new Adam and of the new Eve through the newborn Louisa. A great gift is coming to mankind. Get ready for it. It's going to be glorious. Vine 31, 1, 14, 19, 33. See, I can say that my divine will laid itself as the foundation of all creation more than paper in order to receive our distinct characters and our incessant love into which we poured, more than indelible characters, our divine qualities and works. So here Jesus is saying, what is written is one thing. He says, this is greater than what's been written. Our divine characters are formed with works and incessant love. In the same way, the soul must possess my divine will as the foundation of everything. When you get a house, you sign the papers. When you get land, you sign the papers. Jesus says, this is more than that. I'm giving you the kingdom. I'm giving you the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And that's why he says, in the same way, the soul must possess my divine will as the foundation, as the signature of everything. Everything's going to be ours. The new Jerusalem is ours. The new heavens and the new earth are ours. Jesus said, it's all ready. Everything is ready. And he says, I've given you now the book of heaven. Read, study, put this into practice. Get ready for what I, God, am going to do. Volume 32, 3, 19, 1933. My blessed daughter, our supreme goodness was not content with loving man, with giving Adam the whole universe at his disposal. But in order to give vent to our intense love, we, triune God, placed our divine qualities in Adam to nourish his soul. That's what's going to happen to us. God's going to breathe in us his divine qualities to nourish us. So we placed our divine power, our divine wisdom, our divine goodness, our divine love, our divine sanctity, our divine fortitude in his celestial, as his celestial and divine nourishment. Jesus says, I want to nourish you again. Begin to nourish yourself with divine qualities. Therefore, each time Adam would come to us, we would speak our celestial, we would spread our celestial table before him to nourish him and satiate him. There is nothing that unifies and identifies with the creature more than food that reaches the point of becoming blood, warmth, strength, growth, and life of the soul. In the same way, our divinity wanted to nourish with our divine qualities, made itself warmth, strength, growth, and life of the Wisa. And now God wants to do this for us. But this was not enough. This nourishment, once digested, would not only make the creature grow, Luisa grow, all beautiful and holy with the virtues of the nourishments that Luisa would take, but would serve to make the divine life grow that does not adapt itself to human nourishments, but wants its own divine nourishments in order to grow and to form its very life in the depth of the interior of Luisa's soul and now our soul. See, can there be a greater love, a more intimate and inseparable union than to expose our divine being, our divine immense and infinite qualities as nourishment to make the soul grow with our resemblance? Resemblance, this is to be, God is calling us back to be in his image and likeness. Volume 32, 4, 9, 1933. My blessed daughter, our divine being is most pure light. See, we always go back to this light. As you read, this light begins to grow in you as well. It's the true light of Jesus, the true light of Mary. And the devil sees this and he gets very upset. He gets very upset and tries to sabotage everything. Our job is to have such trust and confidence in Jesus and Mary. Jesus, I trust in you. That's what John Paul II gave us. Why? It's the final devotion to the church. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. Jesus, I trust in you. Mary, I trust in you. Turn to Jesus and Mary. Pray the Holy Rosary every day. Spend time in front of the Blessed Sacrament every day if you can. Things change. My blessed daughter, our divine being is most pure light. Our divine attributes as many suns, one distinct from the other, but unified together and inseparable, forming a circle around us, triune God. Now, in creating Luisa, okay, this is now Luisa. Luisa was placed in these immense suns to form her little road. Now, who comes to form this little road? The one who lives in our divine will. Our divine attributes lined up to Louisa's right and to Louisa's left. They make room for Louisa to give her access, to let her walk, and to let her form her little road. Now, just as an explanation, Our Lady already possessed this as Theotokos, as Mother of God. Jesus already possessed it as the Son of God. The reason Jesus is talking about this is Louisa was born of original sin. And he's saying, now is the time to be sanctified. Jesus says, if Louisa has done this, you can do it. All you have to do is read, as she did. She was tied to bed for, 70 years, the Archbishop says. What we are called to do is, when we have an opportunity, maybe before Holy Mass or after Holy Mass, maybe before your holy hour or after your holy hour, you sit and read with Jesus. As she walks, she does, this is, now Jesus is showing us what to do. As she walks, she does nothing other than gather the drops of light with which she remained all studded, such that it is an enchantment to see Louisa. And again, we're going to pick up this light when we listen to Jesus speak to us, when we read the Book of Heaven. So she nourishes herself with this divine light. The divine light embellishes her, and she knows nothing else. Nor can she speak of anything but this divine light. See, the divine will becomes our everything. Like I said, I love the saints. But I look at Louisa, and this is what Father Bucci said. Louisa was called Louisa la Santa when she was alive. And when she died, the town went, Louisa la Santa is dead. Father Bucci says, one day the church will recognize Louisa as the saint of the church. Louisa la Santa. Who is she? Who is this one that can only speak of divine light? Who is she? So Jesus says, my divine attributes press around Louisa, and they love this little Louisa as the apple of their eyes. That's what Jesus said about the Jewish people. The Jewish community is the apple of his eyes. They feel her life in them. My attributes feel her life in them. My divine attributes becomes their life in her. My divine attributes take on the task of raising her as beautiful as they can, and of not letting Louisa take one step outside of the road that God's divine attributes have formed for Louisa within their intermittable light. So one who lives in our divine will, Louisa Picaretta, and Jesus is calling us to live there as well, can be called the little road of the divine will. Here's another title that Jesus gives Louisa. Louisa, the little road in the divine will. The way, if you want to say, to the divine will. In this, in time, but in eternity, the road shall not be little, but long, or rather, these creatures following Louisa on this road never stop. Because this light has no end. And these creatures, those that read the Book of Heaven, linked to Louisa, shall always have some road to walk to take new beauties, new joys, new knowledges of this light that Louisa possesses that never ends. For our love to show off more than ever in this Eden in creating Adam, and for the fulfillment of our display to keep him more safe, we form for Adam the road to be covered with light of our divine attributes. But when Adam went out, because he did not want to do our holy divine will, but our divine goodness was so great that it did not close this road, but it left it open for anyone who wants to live only of divine will. And that's Louisa first and us second. God is doing this. And Our Lady, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Our Lady is the mother of the way and the truth and the life. And now the one who's following this way of the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary, is Louisa. And Jesus is offering this to us. And he's given us the how and the why this can happen when we read, when we study, when we put this into practice. 5:14, 1933. The sign that the soul has accepted and welcomed the new life of the gift, this divine gift that I, God, want to give to the soul is the fact that I, God, continue to manifest the different qualities, the beautiful prerogatives, the immense value that my gift possesses to Louisa in the book of heaven. Jesus says it's there for you, for anybody who wants it. Now, what's very interesting is your family, your friends, your neighbors, your coworkers, your parishioners don't want this. They got other things they want to do. They got television. They got food. They got their animals. God says, what do you want? I'll give what you want. What do you want? I'll give you whatever you want. And what we say to Jesus is, I want to read. I want to study. I want to put into practice the book of heaven. God goes, do you? Do you want this? And we go, yes. And he goes, prove it. And then we got to prove it. So we read every day. And it's the joy of our life every day. Jesus speaks to us. He speaks to our heart, mind, and soul. He tells us the treasures of heaven, the beauties of heaven, the glory of heaven that can reign in our souls now, not after we die. That's what he has planned. This is what he wants. 5:14, 1933. The sign, this is fun. This is, people go, well, how do I know? The sign that the soul has accepted and welcomed the new life of the gift that I want to give to her is the fact that she, continues to manifest the different qualities, the beauty, the prerogatives, the immense value of the gifts that I possess. After I have made sure that she already possesses in its entirety the life of the gift that I want to give her, then do I make known to her my aims, the crafting that I have performed in her, the gift that she already possesses. Now, this is something that is very, very important. Your whole life, from the moment you were conceived until now, this is what God's been doing. I want to show you my aims, what you've gone through, my crafting, the difficulties, the joys that you've gone through, that I have performed in your soul, and the gift that she already possesses. You already desire the divine will. How? First, you're Catholic. You've been baptized. You've already received the image of God. Second, you're in your life, you have decided to follow the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary. You've decided to do this. Everything, sometimes through tragedy, you've said to God, I want to focus on my life, on you, Lord, and on your mother, little by little. And so this desire that God has placed in your heart, your mind, your soul, you already possess this in a little degree, not the fullness of it, like Louisa, not yet. So he says, then he shows us this. My divine wisdom is infinite. My industries of love are innumerable. First, I do deeds and then words. So in our life, we've gotten to the point where God has given us the book of heaven and he goes, now I've already instructed you with your life. The good, the bad, and the ugly. And he says, now I want to show you with words what I want to bring you to. Don't get discouraged if you have to go to confession each week. We all go to confession each week because we're miserable human beings. Our lives are far from what God has planned. And with worry, fear, anxiety, complaints, negativity, and sin. So Jesus is saying, I know what's happening. Trust me, Jesus, I trust in you. He says, I've got great plans. Watch what I'm going to do. He says this, first I do deeds, then with words to serve to instruct the creature of how to receive, how to preserve, and how to make use of the good that I, God, have given to make known to you, to the soul. So he's given us the book of heaven. It's all set. He's going to show us what to do. And he's asking us, he's pleading with us not to doubt. Doubting leads to discouragement. Discouragement leads to despair. And despair That's what Judas did. You don't want that. You say to Jesus, like Our Lady, how can I do what you want? I've already pledged my life, she says. And what does the angel say? It will be through the power of the Holy Spirit. She says, let it be done as you say. Total docility, total surrender, total submission. Three words that are hated today. This is what God is asking. Volume 32, 625, 1933. We want to hide our divine immensity, our divine power, our divine wisdom, and the whole of our divine being in each person in the divine will. To hide ourselves inside of great things is not so great for all, but in the small things, we give greater display of our love, our power, etc. And since we are omnipotent, we can do anything. It gives us greater delight, and we take more pleasure in hiding ourselves in the human littleness rather than the great things. And if we do not find our divine will in the soul, in us, we can neither look for ourselves nor find ourselves in us, in the soul. We would lack the space in which to place ourselves, and all our divine attributes would feel impotent to hide our divine life there where our divine will is not present. God has this planned, you know. He has this planned, and he needs us to cooperate. He's got it all planned. He's our great and loving God, and we'll be back in an hour and 15 minutes. And we'll continue. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.